All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we are here in verses 31 and 34, Genesis 30. Looking at Laban and Jacob's response to him and Jacob's proposal to have a business for himself, to go in business for himself. Laban sees it as still an opportunity to control Jacob, to contractually bind him in regards to making a loan necessary for him to have business for him, make money for him and his family specifically, as he jumps at the offer of Jacob, "What shall I give you?" Jacob has grown up a little through the school of hard knocks, so to speak. He recognizes that being contractually bound to his uncle Laban is not a good thing. That he can't be trusted. Laban is the type of person that will attach strings to whatever he may offer. He will manipulate as necessary to maintain control and to gain advantage and get his way in regards to those whom he may offer or may become indebted to him in that respect. And Jacob recognizes that, and he flat tells him, "You will not give me anything." So it is obviously something that we come to recognize and learn in our Christian lives, and that is that true giving is giving without strings attached, and that to avoid, obviously, letting people give you things so that they can have their way and manipulate you in regards to your life. People that operate in such fashion, it's best just to tell them to keep what they have and look to God instead for your needs in another direction. Obviously, we understand making a loan here and there as appropriate. But there are people, often parents, and others, relatives, that will give things in order to get their way in regards to their own agendas in life that are not doctrinally oriented and not spiritually ethical in regards to the situation at hand. The reversionists, etc., often gives in this fashion. And the Christian life doesn't have to be that way, but when we fail to apply separation and become discerning in regards to negative and positive volition and don't apply otherwise, we fall prey to the tactics that are often used in that vein. So, on the other end of the coin, obviously, Jacob's proclamation that he doesn't want anything from his uncle. Point 14, page 28 of our notes. Obviously, Jacob's words would appeal to his uncle of not having to give up anything he already has, avoiding a personal investment. Okay. Fine. Again, he would have to put at risk his own assets to make a loan, which he figured that was really it was a good risk on his part. But that's the way he lived his life. See, that's the way he operated. And the fact that now his nephew's coming at him that he doesn't want a loan, doesn't need any of his personal assets in that way. That's got his ears. So 15, Laban is all ears as Jacob then presents his proposal. "If you will do this one thing for me, I will again pasture and keep your flock. Emma Salamat Hadavar Hazeshub, Ra, Tison, Shamar. 16, now the bait enticing Laban is that on his part here, the matter of proposal will be insignificant, at least as it seems on the surface. Then by accepting, if Laban accepts, Jacob will return to managing his livestock industry. Again, there is an element of Jacob being shrewd in his dealings with Laban, just as Laban is with people in his business dealings. But the shrewdness that comes from Jacob is not in a form of deceit. It really is in the form of faith rests and recognizing God in the equation. So, again, you got to think the way that Laban would be thinking under his SGA. All right, no money, no risk of my wealth involved here. This one thing, he's still thinking, just one thing, what can that be? And as it will come out, it will see insignificant and really kind of unbelievable in regards to the actual proposal that Jacob delivers. So, 17, the proposal itself then, so this kind of entices him and whets his appetite, if you will. Then the proposal comes out. The proposal itself in verse 32.17 is designed then to, quote, real, end quote, Laban, into complete acceptance at the expense of the rejection of God in his life. What Laban does not accept is that Jacob ultimately is phase two positive. That he is a promised heir and that God is for him. Obviously, that is fairly obvious as he has no fear of God in the way that he's dealt with Jacob. So, Laban excludes God truly apart from some mystical religious type of admixture of paganism and biblical service to God in his life. He truly omits him. He would be what we would call present day fundy in regards to his approach, one without much moral integrity. And what Jacob actually proposes, that just hooks him. That hooks him. Because he does not have his eyes on God's. He's got his eyes on himself and his own expertise, relying on himself, the energy of the flesh, his business savvy, to get along in life. See? So 18, the terms are of such that it would seem a, quote, win-win, end quote, situation to Laban. He is going to present terms that, on the surface, the odds look completely against Jacob in regards to the reproduction and the magnifying of assets in the livestock of Laban. Laban would be the real winner in the whole situation. Nothing off of his, out of his loss in his eyes. And hence, it's got to be win-win. And, you know, you've been in business long enough, certain types of businesses, you hear this kind of stuff. You see this kind of stuff. Who's the greater negotiator? One that negotiates and then it comes off, looks like, you know, they're the ones that really are going to come out sterling. Then everything crashes and burns later on down the line. You know, all these things. That's what happens when you approach life and you exclude God in regards to his hand being in control of all circumstances and situations. So the terms that are such that to Laban it will seem like a win-win situation. 19, this because he is one that likes to, quote, play the odds, end quote, for success in life rather than look to God for true blessing. 2, look at the aspect of generally this is how it all works. The success will lie over on this side. You know, the odds in the business world, at least from the employment agencies that I was familiar with, to be successful in life is the willingness to move, to relocate. The more you're willing to do that, the quicker you can advance in life. You know, all these things. Of course, they couldn't understand why you had to go to some specific little church and couldn't leave. You know. And all kinds of things. Playing the odds. You look at the records. This is where most people, at least in the cosmos, seems to have their success trying to climb the corporate ladder. Well, if God's not in it, I don't care how successful it may seem on the surface. The result will always end up being the same. It'll be flat. See? So you've got to consistently look to God as being the one who is the source of blessing and to maintain the integrity of your NPR and your life otherwise. Waiting upon Him to bless you and make it clear otherwise of any changes that may come down the pike. So 20, Laban will accept the deal, walking off thinking once again he has the advantage, as we will see. So 21, Jacob then lines out the details. 22, he first proposes to let him pass through. That's our verb abar. His uncle's livestock, removing, Hebrew sur, each speckled and spotted sheep and black lambs, along with each spotted and speckled goats. Akav wa talawa shekum chum. And then Talawa Nakod Ha'etz. So to go through the herds and remove all the multicolored or off-colored, as it may be for sheep, variegated livestock between the goats and the sheep to cull them from the herds. So, in this vein, what's going on here, in that category of animal, 23, sheep are typically solid white in color, while goats are typically black or darker in color. Obviously, with selective breeding, things go on nowadays. Other things come to pass, but over history, that is the dominant gene of color that have come out of those two species of animals. The sheep, most are white. The exception to the rule are darker woolies. And the goats are generally a solid color, darker black. 24, generally no more than 20% of a flock fall into the variegated categories, the multicolor goats, the darker sheep. Jacob wants to segregate here from the entire flock called Tassone. That percentage is from a person who grew up in a sheep ranch. That's what their observation was. So, in the reproduction cycle, the sheep and goats, with the continued proliferation of reproduction under Jacob's tutelage, Laban can, in his mind, think, I'll make four times as much as Jacob will in regards to the situation. That's not much to give up, considering that it will increase otherwise. So 25, now the phrase, as we touched on in our parsing, such shall be my wages, Hayah Shakar, Shaker, appears to say that the variegated flock is to be given to Jacob from which he will make his future profit. On the surface, that's what it looks like he's saying. Let me call these animals from the flock, then such will be my wages. You could take that as meaning the animals called then will become Jacob's, and what offspring he has from them will then be his income or his profit. But remember, Jacob says, I don't want anything from you. That's at the present. No personal asset that Laban presently has does Jacob want. So 26, further, however, later text makes clear this is not the case. As the variegated livestock are under the control of Laban's sons, and Jacob is seeing caring for the remainder of the herd in verses 35 and 36. As Laban goes in, he does the calling. Verse 35, moved on that day to strike the spotted male goats and all the speckled and spotted female goats, everyone with white in, all the black ones among the sheep, and gave them into the care of his sons. This is Laban doing this. And he put a distance 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. So the main herd that is left are the solid-colored animals, the white sheep, and the solid-colored dark goats. And that is the herd that Jacob then is in charge of, with the rest of those being segregated some 3 days' distance travel time and protected under Laban's sons from Jacob, obviously, engaging in any nefarious activity with those particular animals in this deal. So what he is proposing is point 27. What Jacob is actually proposing is that only variegated sheep and goats will he keep as a profit, and that as only produced by the solid-colored herds that he will oversee. So we'll take out at the very beginning, initially, all these off-colored animals and leave nothing but the dominant gene in color in regards to the goats and sheep. Keep those away. I will take care of the solid colors, and then any offspring that they may produce that are then variegated, black of sheep, the striped, speckled, spotted goats, etc., that will be my profit. That'll be my wage. So, 28. In other words, he is offering Laban the advantage of starting off with only solid-colored livestock to begin with, making the odds seemingly out of the park on Laban's behalf. Recognizing, as you would in the industry of genetics, reproduction, that to take away those animals that carry the genes that have different colors and remove them, even in one's thinking, would reduce even the possibility of the solid colors producing more or less, if you will, in that vein. So he'll only pasture the solid colored animals from there. Then anything that comes out in their lambs and baby goats that are multicolored, then Jacob gets those, he'll set those off, and that will be his. So 29, those variegated offspring are to be his wages as self-employment over the next years. Basically, he is approaching Laban with a commission proposal. I don't want anything from you, your present assets. Let me take care of your herds here And anything that in the future comes out in regards to the variegated animals, that'll be my wages. Those will become mine for my labor to take care of your animals. Otherwise, during my tenure, continue tenure with you in this respect. And therefore, he's not really becoming contractually obligated. He could walk off this deal at any time he wants. And it's no loss, if you will, to either party. So, I mean, there are people that work that way. They're self-employed. They work strictly on commission. And often, if they're good at that, employers will hire them because it's no money out of their pocket. It's no sweat off their brow. And if they turn the goods that they're involved in, yeah, I'll give you a slice off my profits in that regards. See, so that's the idea that's going on here. In the property management industry, leasing was often done this way. Hire a leasing agent that would simply work on commission. And how long they stayed was how successful they were or not. And it leaves the agent free to their own time, their own thing, you know, etc. And there's no real bind apart from any profits made and produced. So 29-30 now, as they are born, the variegated, the multicolored offspring and dark sheep. As they are born, they will set aside into Jacob's coffer, and at all times will be segregated from the remaining herds. Obviously, you've got to recognize a short amount of time for them to, first they have to be weaned before they can be removed from their parents. So, I mean, hopefully you can think with me on this end of it. But as they are weaned, then, all right, survive on their own, put them over there, and that's my property. So, 31, then in turn, any future solid offspring for Jacob's variegated herds would be returned back to Laban's herd. So this is quite a proposal. He will even give up the potential of solid-colored animals at all in regards to his profit of variegated goats and sheep. And anything that his animals may reproduce that becomes solid color, they go back into Laban's herd. So you can see why on Laban's part, duh, I woke up on the right side of the bed today. Who's this goofball? So 32, in this way, Jacob receives free gratis to begin with. He receives nothing free gratis to begin with, nothing that would obligate him, contractually bind him from his uncle, and only reaps what nature, you may read God, who's in control of nature, may further produce. So 33, as I've mentioned, he essentially is contracting based on commission only, with no downside for the business owner. So the irony, I mean, hopefully you're kind of picking up some of it. You see the irony here. Laban, what can I give you? How much do you want? See? There's no downside for you really, Jacob. I'll front it. I'll give you what you want. And Jacob is turning reverse this now. He's going, Laban, here's my proposal. Laban's going, man, there's no downside for me. See? There's no downside for you, Laban. So, you know, even in negotiations, God puts in the minds the right thinking and the right things, you know, how he can reverse situation. So we see it already beginning here between the uncle and nephew at this level. So 34, it would be considered more than an equitable wage on behalf of the miserly employer. What cheapskate wouldn't? Okay, yeah. To get him to cough up anything, it seems like next to impossible. Unless he's going to get his way in regards to it. 35, what are the chances that the solid-colored animals will produce multicolored specimens? Even within a mixture, some 20% is generally the highest that you'll see in this regard. Now he's removing all this. He's putting all the odds, supposedly, on the surface, in my corner. I get all the advantage. How you run with your SGA, you don't clearly think things through. Just think about what you just said earlier, Laban. I've divined that God has blessed me because of you. It's because of you, see, that when you're running under your SGA, how quick we forget. Even those things that we might have been in touch with momentarily, temporarily, in our thinking that was at least on the right plane of thought at the time. So 36, based on the laws of genetics, the results in Laban's favor appear great. 37, now to ensure the honesty of Jacob's dealing, our word tzedakah in the Hebrew, honesty, he invites his uncle to check up on him as necessary to validate the proper division of assets. That's verse 33, that's right. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come concerning my wages. 38, Jacob is so adamant. 37 again, to ensure the honesty of Jacob's dealings, he invites his uncle to check up on him as necessary to validate the proper division of assets. Make sure everything's above board. Verse 33, 38, Jacob is so adamant about his proposal that he is willing to put his reputation on the line. He's willing to put his reputation on the line to be labeled a thief, at least in some societies, is not a good thing. Most societies. And one's reputation should be held dear to them in regards to its individual value. Often people will engage in business endeavors with another simply because of their reputation. Their reputation of being honest, hard workers, good moral ethics, things of this nature. And yeah, let's do business. Past business, they've done good. So here, one may think, well, that's not really much collateral. Well, yeah, it is. When you regard reputation in its real vein of value. And here, he's willing to put it on the line. 39, that is, if any sheep or goats are not variegated, that are not variegated, are found among his personal herd, they are to be considered stolen. Our word, ganav. Yeah, you can count me as a thief. You can prosecute. But I'm trying to rip you off. See? 40, Jacob will risk a criminal record as a thief as collateral to meet his end of the deal. That's just on the icing on the cake, so to speak. Now, how could Laban ever go wrong in this situation? See, how can I go wrong on this? 41, one's reputation of honesty and good work ethics can carry high value in a business setting, as well as other settings. In verse 34, Laban accepts the proposal, as he states, good, or behold, literally. Let it be according to your word. Hebrew, hin lu haya kaf devar. Now implied in his acceptance is a veiled threat that Laban will prosecute for theft if the occasion arises as insurance on his part. Let it be according to your word, and I'll arrest you if I catch you cheating me. That's ironic, coming from Laban. So 44, Laban, being the underhanded and non-ethical character he is, trusts no one, as he thinks everyone is the same way to one degree or another. Again, we see this irony in this setting, whereas Laban, as I brought out, appealed to Jacob that, you know, he's not such a bad guy after all. We're family. We've been together now 14 years. Come work for me. But now, on the other end of the coin, he has no trust in his nephew, really. He distrusts him. You know, a normal person, oh, you don't need to do that. I trust you. And when you trust people, I trust you. You don't have to go to that extent. Not Laban. Oh, there's another one he can put down for his security. See. 45, as we will see, his distrust of Jacob is further amplified as we get in verses 35 and 36. Even though there is no history of treachery on Jacob's part towards his uncle. Some interpreters will come off of this scenario saying that they don't trust one another and that Laban has reason not to trust Jacob. Well, I don't know what that reason is because there's none recorded otherwise in that respect. All right, well, I'm just going to let you guys go early. Got a tick on my throat. I was standing up here and cough for a while. So we'll pick this up Tuesday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten these things in Jesus' name. Amen.